Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy, you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
Another night of the Sweet 16. Four more tickets to get punched to the Elite Eight, as we'll have our final eight teams remaining in the NCAA tournament. Ongoing right now, second half, Alabama was down by five through the first 20 minutes. They are now up 40-34. So they have a lead up against San Diego State with 13:52 to go in this second half. And then Miami-Houston, this has been a track meet so far. And there's 20 seconds left in the first half. And Miami, the Hurricanes, are up 40-36. So this is going to be a really fun one between these two teams. I like Miami going into tonight, plus the 7.5 to win the game outright. I do like San Diego State to cover. I said that before, plus 7.5, but not win the game up against Alabama. And we will continue to see how the rest of the evening does play out. Expected start times coming up later this evening, as you do have Creighton and Princeton. That is expected to get underway at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then at 9:45 p.m. Eastern on CBS, you'll have Xavier and Texas. But without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu, let's update you on the biggest storylines in the world of sports with some audio. We call this segment The News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And you can pick around the auto parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We start things off with the star of the NCAA tournament, Marquise Noel. He was asked if the argument between him and Jerome Tang was planned right before you had the pass by Noel, the no-look alley-oop to Keontae Johnson.
On the reverse alley-oop play, is that a fake play call you guys are doing between each other? What's going on there?
We'll start with Marquise.
Tell him, because then the next team knows.
I mean, it was just a basketball play between me and Keontae.
I still don't know if that was planned or not, because a lot of people believe that it was a fake argument, and you maybe catch the team off guard, and then you throw right over them, and then you have the alley-oop. There's also been reports that Marquise Noel was telling people courtside, hey, watch this, something special's about to happen. And then there's also other things that have been said where it wasn't actually a planned argument. They were just looking at one another, talking about what was going to go on, and then he saw Keontae Johnson out of the corner of his eye. So I think for the story of it, Hickey, it's better if that was a design play, but I don't know if it actually was.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about it. Design play. They called it up.
I don't know about that, though.
The even way afterwards, you watch, like...
Even the coach, though.
It was perfectly timed, where that's not happening off the cuff.
It could. I don't think it's that wild to think that that is impromptu. And then afterwards, the coach's response, once you hear all the conversation about it and everyone's buzzing about it, he's like, oh, don't tell anyone. Like, that makes you... It really keeps you guessing. Now, here's the bottom line. In their next round game up against FAU, and maybe we should have brought this up to Dusty May when he was joining us. If you see Marquise Noel and Jerome Tang having any disagreement, get bodies to the basket. Because then you can expect an alley-oop, or maybe it's going to be a pass to the corner. You never know. All right, here's Marquise Noel, who says he never had 19 assists in a game before, which he did last night.
This is probably my career high in assists, ever. I had a couple games of 14, a couple games of 17 back in high school, but... you know, this one was special in front of my hometown, in front of, you know, the city, you know, that loves me. I can't even put into words, you know, how blessed and grateful I am.
Hickey, I thought it was funny last night because I forget who was doing the studio show, but right before, and maybe it was afterwards on one of the networks that I was watching, they're like, oh, Marquise Noel had 19 assists, and that's the most in NCAA tournament history in a single game. And then they played that clip. Now, he could have had more in like other games in life than 19 assists, and this is just the NCAA tournament, but I thought that was just a little bit funny when you go from the announcer saying, oh, this is the most assists in a single game in the history of the NCAA tournament, and it's like, yeah, I've never had 19 assists before in my life. You would think if you do that on the biggest stage, I don't know wherever else you're going to go where you get more assists like that.
Who you think in high school, like, you know, sure, how many of these great basketball players are just probably physically dominating whatever high school they're playing at? I guess you
how many
see
times
him.
You passing, though? In those kinds of spots.
Well, he's a pass-first guy. Maybe that was kind of his forte. And maybe, you know, maybe he should have had 25 assists in a game, but the shooters stink, miss open shots, and he could have, like, 30 in a game.
Like, if I'm relying on Ryan Hickey to knock down jumpers in the gym, and Marquise Noel probably lost 6 or 7 assists.
You don't want that.
Game.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You're a bad shooter?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm a hustle guy. Rebounds, I play good defense.
I know we've talked about this before. You were a solid high school football player. Were you good at any other sports? I can see you being good at cross-country for some reason.
I never really did cross country. I hate running, so definitely not do it for fun.
I mean, you have a body like a cross country guy.
I'm decent at volleyball, I like to think.
But were you on the high school volleyball team?
No. I only played baseball and football, and I was not very good at baseball.
What did you? Let me try to guess what position you were in baseball.
I cut JV year. Never played after that. I was on the freshman team, though.
I feel like you're too clunky. For shortstop or third base.
Clunky?
Yeah.
I don't want that. Played shortstop in Little League all the time.
Congratulations. Lucky they didn't put you in right field.
Command of the infield.
I would say you were probably, I want to say first base, but no. I would say
first base. I'm 5'11". Right now I'm 5'11 and 170 pounds. I think in high school I was probably 5'9 and like 155 pounds.
Left field?
Putting me at first base. Rotated. Left, right, center.
I play all three.
I'm versatile.
Okay. So you're an outfielder.
Outfielder. That's right.
Did you pitch at all?
In Little League.
Okay.
Had a decent changeup my last year that I kind of pitched for real.
A decent changeup in Little League. Okay, yeah, Danny. I'm
you
on
asked, no, you asked. I'm just basically answering your questions.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging on my 12-year-old Little League career.
What were you, 16 in Little League, playing up against a bunch of 10-year-olds,
no,
Danny Almonte?
No, but I did have a late birthday, so I was able to play a little bit extra. In June, I was able to play, so I was 12.
Yeah, okay. Marquise Noel says the ankle injury wasn't going to prevent him from missing the game.
I just wanted to do it for my teammates, man. I just love being out there with these guys. And I wasn't going to let a little injury like this that, you know, happens on the basketball court all the time to stop me from playing in the Sweet 16 and advancing to the Elite 8.
So there's a lot of times where you roll your ankle in a game, but that wasn't a little injury. Like John Crispin is doing the game of sitting courtside said he thought his season was over. And there were times visibly in that game where he's limping and basically walking around. You know, I said it earlier that he looked like Patrick Mahomes on a basketball court last night. Dealing with an ankle injury as well. And then with the no-look passes, he was literally Mahomes on a basketball court last night.
Down to the ankle injury itself.
Jerome Tang says he wants his team to enjoy the moment. Remember Kansas State before the year was picked dead last in the Big 12.
It's a huge accomplishment. I mean, this thing is hard, right? It's hard to do. And so, man, when it happens, you just have to really embrace it and enjoy it and not, like, take a moment, you know? We got to take a moment and just really soak this thing in before we move on to the next thing. Now, next thing is really huge, whoever we have to play. And, you know, but we've kind of just taken everything 1-0 every day in every aspect of the day. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity.
Let's go to Tom Izzo. This is courtesy of TBS. He says Kansas State made a few lucky shots to win the game.
Give them credit, but, I mean, they banked in 2 shot clock 3s. There were... And they made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays. And I didn't think we played our best. I think some of it was them. I think some of it was us. But, boy, we bounced back in that second half.
I know a lot of people were losing their mind about that last night. It's right after the game. He probably should have just said, tip your cap to Kansas State. They played a heck of a game, and then you go from there. They did hit some lucky shots, but a lot of times I'd rather be lucky than good. So I don't have a real problem with it. Could he probably have avoided it? Yeah. But everyone, like last night, rushes to Twitter. It's like, oh, Tom Izzo this, Tom Izzo that. Like, enough. Dan Hurley says he isn't surprised that the Huskies are in the Elite Eight.
Where we are right now is exactly where we talked about where we would be when we got together after we lost the first round game last year. We met in that boardroom, and the three of us sat together, and we talked about this is where we were going to be. Wow. So we're exactly where we thought we would be, and obviously we're thrilled to play one more to go to the Final Four.
I don't want to say he's soft-spoken, Hickey, because he's not. That's just a man that loses his voice after 40 minutes of screaming like a madman, because he is a psycho when you watch him on the sideline.
He also sounded a little bit out of breath at the end, too, which makes sense when you're screaming for 40 minutes that you're also struggling to catch your breath afterwards.
Let's go to Eric Musselman. He wasn't taking his shirt off after this one. He says UConn dominated his team from the start.
Thought from the opening tip, they came out with a great sense of urgency. They cut hard. They crashed the offensive boards, especially early in the game. They did a great job rebounding the ball for the entire 40 minutes.
Last night, Gonzaga, UCLA, another classic. UCLA was up 13 at half. Then UCLA went 11 minutes without a field goal in the second half. Gonzaga's up 9 with a 1:20 to go. And then all of a sudden, UCLA out of nowhere with 13 seconds left takes a 1-point lead. But before, you did have the Julian Strother 3-point shot, which was just unbelievable. Here is Mark Few, the head coach of the Zags, who says his team he's proud of how his team responded in the second half.
They had us on the ropes there. At halftime and even maybe coming out of halftime the first couple of possessions. But, we challenged the guys at half to get back to playing our way, and I thought we played much, much better defense in the second half and cut down on our turnovers. That's what was really killing us in the first half.
I don't remember, Hickey, how many first-half points Drew Timmy had, but I looked up at one point. It was like 20-something. He was ridiculous in the game last night. I know late, he almost ended up being a big reason why they almost blew that game. But they would have never been in that spot if it wasn't for Drew Timmy, who had, for the most part, a sensational game last night. This is Drew Timmy on CBS on how he inspired his team in the first half when they were trailing.
I got to do whatever I can to fire this team up and fire myself up. And if people have a problem with that, then, you know, they can go somewhere else.
Now, he curses a lot, which is a big no-no in the broadcasting world. I think he was about to curse there, and then maybe an SID said, hey, Drew, let's not curse that much when you do the post-game interviews. Not good for the networks. And then he kind of remembered that in the moment.
Well, it was, 4 days ago he dropped an F-bomb, so yeah. Maybe he learned in those 4 days from then to now to maybe clean it up a little bit.
But what about the children? The children are watching, Hickey. Can't
this
be
was
cursing.
Big CBS yesterday. I think last week was like TBS. It was like the last game
on
a Sunday.
No, it was True TV.
True TV.
Oh, no,
late
no, that
night.
Was the other player.
Yes.
That was
John L. Davis of FAU.
Yeah.
Who said the S word?
And who is it, Jamie Erdell?
Yes.
She's like, oh, don't worry, it's True TV.
Andy Katz is sitting there, just led Drew Timmy last week at midnight Eastern, just rattle off whatever words he wanted to come up with. So now that you're on big CBS, I'm sure they said, hey, no cursing. Kids are watching.
Drew Timmy says the Zags are a second half team.
I think that's just kind of the story of this year. You know, the first 20, as much as we might not like it to be, is probably not our best 20. But we somehow, some way, we dig deep and we find a way to just come together and rally and keep fighting. And I think that's the beauty of this team.
You know who he looks like, Drew Timmy?
Looks like who?
Remember the movie Dodgeball?
Yes.
Is it Ben Stiller, right, that plays the villain in that movie?
Yes.
That's who he kind of looks like with the headband and all that.
You think?
Yeah. Globo Gym, right?
Yes.
Those are kind of the vibes that I get.
Dude, the same mustache.
That's what I keep on seeing. I can't get that out of my head.
All right, hey. But
you don't see it, though.
Me, you know what's throwing me off here? I'll be honest, and it's something stupid, but this is just how my brain works. It's the hair color. Timmy being more reddish. Ben Still in that movie being more, like, jet black. That,
fair.
It's stupid. It's throwing me for a loop.
The best part of the movie, then, is when Ben Stiller, at the end of the movie, right, loses everything and then becomes really fat, and he does the milkshake dance at the end of the movie.
When he's eating ice cream watching TV?
I'm pretty sure, I may be wrong on this, but I remember seeing it the first time. I want to say the credits came up in the movie, and then that was like one of those things that they throw in right as you're walking out of the theater, where you're going through all the names and they throw that in right at the end.
I think you're right about that.
Mick Cronin is very upset with how long it took to start his post-game press conference.
Okay, we're joined in the interview room by UCLA head coach Mick Cronin, as well as student athletes Tiger Campbell and Jaime Jaquez Jr. Coach, opening statement.
I don't have one. My opening statement is it just took 33 minutes to get me in here, which is ridiculous. Any questions?
So I did not hear this last night, and that's why I kind of like stuttered when I'm going through the news brief slugs. I'm like, what? This is a thing? What took so long? Did Gonzaga go before him?
I'm assuming yes. They'll have the winning team go first. It's the same interview, press conference room. I think the NCAA has mandates where it's like a 10-minute cooling off period. Yeah. So 10 minutes after the game, then Gonzaga, and I'm sure Drew Timmy maybe was talking a long time. And that's
do you know how long that press conference went last night?
I do not, but I guess too long.
I'm going to guess not long.
Oh, sorry, Mick Cronin. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
if that's how you start, like, hey, welcome.
He was not in a talkative mood, we'll say.
Very different than the jokes that he was cracking right before halftime, which I'm fine with, but a whole different mood with how that game did end. And it was a classic, another game. And you go from being up, then choking, then the other team chokes, and then you think you're going to maybe get out there with the victory, still 13 seconds left, and then they ran the Jay Wright play. That's what happened last night, and Gonzaga ends up winning. Now, I like Mick Cronin a lot, but I understand why he's so frustrated. Adeem Bona out. You had Clark also before the tourney with the Achilles injury. If they were fully healthy, that's a team that's as good as anybody in the country. And it's another unfortunate loss here in the NCAA tournament.
I did not include this, but I did see last night he was asked about the Adeem Bona injury. And he goes, you know, someone goes, why didn't Bona play? He wasn't ready to play. Why not? He wasn't ready to play. If I wanted to elaborate, I would elaborate. So
that's
to answer your
great.
Question, yes.
Belichick
was, I'm sure, a very short press conference last night. Mick was not happy.
That's one of those, I'm going to be a douche, so you stop asking me questions, and therefore this press conference ends very, very quickly. He didn't go all Ron Rivera, though, where you make like a passionate plea and then you just storm out. That's what I would have done.
He was not near tears.
Gotcha. I like Mick Cronin. I am a big Mick Cronin fan. I did have a tweet at halftime, like, I would love to see Mick Cronin win an NCAA championship.
I'll be honest, I like salty Mick Cronin more than I like regular Mick Cronin. So the more UCLA losses, the better, because I want more of these press conferences. I want to be bitching more about the wait time to get to the podium.
33 minutes. That's great.
To a T.
Let's hear more Mick Cronin on why the Bruins went on an 11-minute scoring drought. I can't wait for this answer.
A lot of open shots didn't go down. Oh. There's no hindsight. Wide open shots. And multiple times we got fouled, no call. Dave and Tiger didn't make a basket in the second half. They had good looks. And Jaime got murdered on about four layups.
At first, he's just killing his two players, and then he's killing the officials. And you just hear the tone. His tone in the whole thing, it's just, I do not want to be here.
The monotone is what does it for me. Jaquez just getting murdered on these layup attempts.
It's monotone, but there's still like a sense of just like
a tinge of anger.
I hate being here.
Right.
I hate you. I hate that we lost. I hate everyone right now. And I'm annoyed.
It's teetering where one more question that sets him off, he could explode, sort of thing.
Do we have any more Mick Cronin just in the system? Do you need a few seconds to gather that?
Just a few seconds.
Okay. You never know. Sometimes the tape ops beyond the scenes, they may only give you two Mick Cronin cuts. When I hear those two, I'm like, I need to hear more. I would just love to hear more of his press conference, because what a gem that is, just through those two answers.
Do you want to hear him answer why, or basically his reaction on Julian Strother's game-winning three?
Yes.
We should have been tighter on Strother. That we were the whole game. We just weren't on that play.
And then
if we were tighter, then he couldn't have looped behind. We were sagging off to Dylan was off too far. That's the answer to that.
Any more slugs in the slug lines of the system? Just read me the slug line. I'll tell you if I want it or not.
There's one where he's not in the mood to elaborate. That was the injury one. If you want to hear it, how he goes.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mick, can you talk about the decision to not play Adeem Bona?
He wasn't able to play.
Too much pain or?
He wasn't able to play. If I wanted to elaborate, I would elaborate.
Do we have one more?
Unfortunately, that was the last one.
That's it? Only four cuts from that?
Well, then that may have been only four questions answered.
That's true. All right, guys, I'm done. But if that's the case, we need that. like ruffling the paper, slamming the table, standing up and walking on out. All righty, let me play Rick Barnes on what went wrong for Tennessee down the stretch.
Started scoring. Our offense wasn't very good, and we gave up too many drives. And then along with that, offensive rebounds where we let them get downhill.
See, I actually rather have the Mick Cronin side of it than Rick Barnes. Like, Rick Barnes sounds lifeless there. I'm not saying he doesn't care. Obviously, he does. He wants to win. But Mick Cronin, you could tell how annoyed he is. I think Rick Barnes at this point is just like, oh, here we go again.
Another loss. Another loss that shouldn't have been in the tournament.
Ho-hum. Okay.
He's like beaten man, unfortunately.
Yeah. How about this? San Diego State, I think it was like 8 or 9 at one point. They're now on a 12-0 run. They were down like 8 or 9 points. Look at Alabama was taking over the game. San Diego State's now up 51-48. They're on a 12-0 run in the last 3 minutes of play with 8:26 to go in this second half. And you have at halftime Miami-Houston. Miami's up 42-36. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So San Diego State is giving Alabama everything that they could handle, and then some. San Diego State was up by 5 heading into halftime, and for the most part, Alabama was controlling this second half. And for a little bit, it looked like that this game was starting to not get out of hand, but just that the tide was really starting to turn in favor of Alabama. And then San Diego State regains the lead and answers back with a 12-0 run. And since then, you look at this game, it's 53-50 right now. San Diego State is up on Alabama with 6.5 to play. And the player that's going to need to step up here down the stretch is Brandon Miller. I don't know. It's kind of tough when you're doing the show and you have to watch this game. I don't know how much the groin is actually playing a factor here. He picked up two fouls in the first half. And he does not have one since. But he only has 9 points. He's an abysmal 3-16 from the field, Hickey. And he's 1-7 from three. You know that if Alabama loses, and it's a 3-point game in favor of San Diego State, now make it a 5-point game in favor of San Diego State with 6 minutes to go, just under 6 minutes to go. You know that the two people that are going to be talked about the most is Brandon Miller and Nate Oates. Because you look at this journey, you sit here, it's San Diego State, Creighton, Princeton, FAU, Kansas State. You are the best team out of that group to get to the championship game. And not just the Final Four, the championship game in Houston. And if you don't get there, the coach is going to get lambasted as he should. And then Brandon Miller, who we all know is probably going to be the second pick in the draft, but it is disappointing, and I don't know how much the groin is playing a factor in this, but you're on the court, you're playing. And you've been on the court, and you're playing. And I know we talked about the groin still being a factor, but 9 points right now, and you survived the first half only down by 5. You regain the lead, and you haven't got a foul since. And I know he has 9 rebounds as well, but he's just not getting the ball to fall right now. 3-16 from the field and 1-7 from three is just not good enough. And he is, I know that Alabama's deep team and the rest of the team really isn't stepping up as well, but he's got to elevate this team in the final 5 minutes. And I know we all think Brandon Miller is a great player. I'm not taking anything away from his game on the basketball court, but this is a moment where you could dominate the tourney, where you guys have not played great against really, you haven't been tested yet, and now you're getting tested against San Diego State, a team that you're better on. If you played them 10 times, you'll probably beat them 8 or 9 times. But in this game, you're down by 5 with how poorly you played. You have to block everything out, and you just got to find a way to will your team to victory. And you have a chance to really make your name, even though everyone knows who you are in this NCAA tournament, but have one of your tourney moments if you end up going on one of these crazy runs down the stretch to go, will Alabama to a victory and continue this run to try to get to the Final Four?
And it's not just a Brandon Miller, but like you said, this entire team. Look, part of what makes, you know, are you a champion is not only responding in adversity, but also finding ways to win. You don't have your A game. And Alabama all season long has been one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country.
They're 3 of 21 tonight.
They are 3 of 21 so far. So safe to say what they do best is absolutely not working. Okay, so fine. So plan A is not working. Well, what's plan B, C, and D to find a way to win this game? You don't have to win by 20. You don't have to win pretty. You have to win, period. Whether it's Brandon Miller or the other four guys on the court, you have to figure out a way. And that's what truly kind of separates championship teams is you don't have your A game. When things aren't going your way, how can you make your own luck just to figure out how to survive in advance?
And San Diego State just drilled a three, so they're now up 58-52. It's a six-point game here with 4:28 to go. And we'll see if Alabama's going to be able to answer back. So with 4:26 to go, big-time upset alert here. I know San Diego State's a five seed, but I thought I was going out on a limb when I plused them on the 7.5 points. I thought this was going to be a sloppy game. I did not think San Diego State was going to win tonight. But if they find a way to win this game, then it's San Diego State against the winner of Creighton and Princeton. This would be an enormous missed opportunity here for Alabama if they can't get the job done. So we'll keep you up to date on that one. Right now it is 58-53. After the free throw was just made, Alabama is still at the line. And you do have Miami-Houston, as you do have that second half underway. Miami right now, who I like Miami to win outright today, have them plus 7.5 in a parlay. Miami is up 47-36 with 18:39 to go in the second half. Now remember, Purdue went home against FDU. Kansas went home in the second round against Arkansas. You only have two number one seeds remaining, and that is Alabama and Houston. And right now, Miami's up 47-38 against Houston, who's the number one seed, and San Diego State is up 60-53, and they're about to add on to that. Oh, there's a block. Wow, how about that? What a play by Brandon Miller. So that's now 60-53. Still that game, as we'll see what happens there. So you have both number one seeds remaining are in danger. You know, Hickey, let's look this up during the break. When was the last time only one number one seed wasn't in the Final Four? I wonder when the last time that was, because you have two number one seeds that are already gone, and by the end of tonight, now it's still a long ways to go in Houston, Miami, and they're still under 4 minutes to play here between San Diego State and Alabama. But you could, by the end of this evening, have every number one seed gone in the NCAA tournament. And you look at the two seeds as well. Last night, UCLA loses. Texas is still alive as a two seed. Arizona went home in the first round to Princeton, back-to-back-to-back years of 15-2. And we know Marquette lost to Michigan State last weekend. So there is a real chance, depending how this plays out tonight, that all your number one seeds could be gone. And then potentially, if you do have Texas lose to Xavier, all your number two seeds could be sitting at home as well. So what a bonkers NCAA tournament this has just been. And we thought the first two rounds were great. When you have Fairleigh Dickinson winning, you have Furman winning, you have Princeton winning. But what you saw last night, Michigan State, Kansas State was unbelievable, UCLA, Gonzaga was a classic. And now tonight, not a lot of people thought San Diego State, Alabama, Princeton, Creighton were going to be games. San Diego State is 3 minutes and 51 seconds away from getting a victory. They're up 60-53, and we'll see what happens between Princeton and Creighton. And Houston starting to go a little bit of a run here as it's 47-43. Miami's still up.
To answer your question about one seed in the Final Four, since 1979 when seeding started, there have been three Final Fours that have not included a one seed: 1980, 2006, 2011.
Wow. That'd be wild. Now, do you have the 2011 bracket up in front of you, just wondering?
It looks like that was UConn, Kentucky. Kentucky's a 4. Huskies were a 3. I don't know the other. VCU was an 11, and Butler was an 8.
Wow. How about that? I just wonder how far the one seeds did go down. You know, like when the one seeds, all of them did go down, because you have a chance that all the one seeds are sitting at home by the end of the Sweet 16.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy, you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 13:26 to go between Miami and Houston. Miami, the 5 seed, the Hurricanes are up by 3, 54-51 against the Cougars of Houston, who are a number 1 seed. And there is 1:14 to go between San Diego State and Alabama. And Alabama is down 7. Now, right before the break, Hickey was telling you that the last time no number 1 seeds went to the Final Four was in 2011. That year in the East Regional, you had Ohio State go down to Kentucky. That was in the Sweet 16. Kentucky ended up going to the Final Four. You then had in the West Regional, you had Duke go down in the Sweet 16 as well to Arizona. UConn ended up going to the Final Four out of that group. You had Kansas go to the Elite Eight, but Kansas lost to VCU by 10. And then in the Southeast Regional, you had Pittsburgh as your number 1 seed go down in the round of 32, the second round, to Butler. And the championship game that year ended up being UConn and Butler. And you remember that was the second national championship game for Butler back-to-back years. The first one was that classic up against Duke where Gordon Hayward almost hits the half-court shot. You see John Shire run around going crazy because it didn't go through. And then that year, UConn just, from what I remember, it was a blowout up against Butler. And I don't think that national championship game didn't meet the hype, and I don't believe it was anywhere close. So right now, it's San Diego State and Alabama. Alabama has trimmed down the lead from 7-4. So this is 66-62 with under a minute to go. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. I believe San Diego State just did call a timeout. So there's 57.5 seconds to go. Miami, 11:29 to go in the second half. And the Hurricanes, who I liked and Hickey liked as well, which both scared me when we both agree on something, just the way this goes. But 11:29 to go, Miami's up 62-53. And you got to give a lot of credit in this one. And we talked about this player before with Coach Ellen and also Isaiah Wong, Nigel Pack. He's been tremendous on the defensive side of the court. But then offensively, he's been 7 of 9 from 3. He's been unconscious, 8 of 11 from the field. He has 23 points. Like, Wong has 12 points. Norchad Omer has 10. But that's been the difference in that game, Hickey. It's been Nigel Pack, who has 23 points. And you look for Houston. Sasser played really well last game, still battling with the groin, though. He has 11. And then Sheed only has 9 right now. Jamal Sheed for Houston. So those guards, and Marquez 12 as well for Houston, those guards are so big for Houston, but the guards right now for Miami have been better. Miller has 8, Wong has 12, but the biggest difference maker in this game so far, Ryan, has been Nigel Pack, who's just taken over on the defensive side of the court, and then most importantly, he's just been dynamite on the offensive side of the court, just cannot miss as he has 23 points.
Like, you watch Miami, too, especially in this tournament recently. You kind of see what they did with Indiana. They blitz you on both ends of the floor, too. It's usually you can get a team that's really good offensively, really good defensively, but struggle on the other side. They are equally aggressive offensively, defensively. They're in your face on both sides of the court. Like you said, too, even though In the second half, Houston looked a lot better from a health perspective. You're still talking about two injuries with a groin injury and like a dislocated or hyperextended knee.
Bama, too.
That they are not going, like, they don't magically get better in even just 3 days of rest. So, again, the longer you go in this tournament, the more the injuries are still going to be a factor, the more wear and tear you have in your body. Again, the harder it's going to be recover, the more it's going to impact you. And that's, I think, part of what we're seeing tonight with so far helping Miami out.
You know, I'm really annoyed at John Fanta, by the way.
Oh, why?
I like John Fanta a lot.
Oh, what are we saying here?
Well, so I went into this tournament, and when I was looking at the teams, I would have loved Houston like a month ago. I would have said Houston would be going to the championship, and they'd be winning it all. Then I didn't totally sour on Houston, but I wasn't putting them in the Final Four because of some of the injuries leading into the tourney. And I was trying to figure out who I was going to put in the Final Four, and I was thinking Miami. Miami was the team that I was really liking, and I like Larrañaga a lot. And then Fanta comes on, and I said to him, who's the double-digit seed that you have the most confidence in to get to the Sweet 16? And you know me. I trust John Fanta like no other when it comes to college basketball. And he said Drake. And when he said that, I'm like, all right. I know Miami, right, going in, there was concerns about Norchad Omer and his health. I know he ended up playing. I go, okay, I'll give the edge to Fanta. And now Miami, they got to take care of business, but they could take down Houston tonight and get to the Elite Eight. Now, I ended up picking Texas in my bracket, so I'm not crying. But Fanta, you know, telling us to take Drake over Miami. Now, I should operate on my own, but kind of let the outside noise get to me. I became soft.
You know me, I'm very stubborn. I will say, with the conviction John Fanta talked about Drake, I put them in the Sweet 16 as well. I said, okay, this is a lock. And look, Drake actually played well against Miami.
Suckers,
like, so far, they are, honestly, they've given, Drake has been the one that tested Miami the most so far out of Houston, Indiana, and Drake. So credit there. But yeah, Fanta, he hook, line, and sinker. I was, okay, Drake, I've now watched a second of them. Put him in the Sweet 16.
So this game between San Diego State and Alabama, it got down to two, and I believe San Diego State just made both of their free throws. So this is now 68-64. With 45 seconds left, and I would imagine this final 45 seconds will probably take like 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And Brandon Miller just missed a shot, and that's going to be San Diego State's basketball. So if San Diego State is just able to, Hickey, inbound the basketball and make their free throws, they will win. And I actually think I got to see a second look at that. On the first look, Brandon Miller squared up from three. It did look like his hand got contacted with. I wondered if they should have called a foul there.
I really hope San Diego State was up late last night watching Gonzaga UCLA, took notes on what not to do from Gonzaga's perspective.
What, don't have your worst free throw shooter at the line?
Right, and inbound the ball, foul guys, stop the clock, put the trailing team at the line. What are you doing? So hopefully San Diego State, as long as they took notes and said, okay, that's what we're not going to do the last 90 seconds, you should be able to close this game out.
We have a review here. We don't know who the ball went off last. It was Alabama on the floor. That looks like it's still off Alabama. At first, I was going to say that it was off San Diego State. Now, that angle that they just show you does not help you whatsoever. If they go back to the other angle, I do think before that ball hit out of bounds that it did go off Alabama. But a big review here, because San Diego State does have the ball for now. It is a 4-point game. And they are up with the ball. So I'm going to assume, and you know what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, but I'm going to assume right now that is going to stay with San Diego State. Ooh, did that hit a finger?
I think you're right. I think I just read the referee's lips. He said, off of white last.
Okay, gotcha. Because I thought maybe on that last angle, potentially, it went off a finger of San Diego State. But from the first angle I did see, it did look like that was going to be off of Alabama. Now, Miami's on a 16-4 run in the last 3 minutes and 50 seconds. And Houston missing, and Miami gets a rebound. It's now 67-53. Miami is up on Houston. And San Diego State is running around the basket. Alabama's got a foul. What are they doing here? Took them forever to get in position to go foul. And that did take some time off the clock. So there's now 25.1 seconds left. And you see that the yelling San Diego State is doing. They are doing some celebrating on the court, up by 4. You just hit your free throws and you will win this game. You hit both your free throws here. You go up by 6. Even if Bama comes down the other way and hits a three, you just hit your free throws, you win this game, and you knock out Alabama, and you send the third number one seed home. It's that simple. Miami's now pouring it on. 70-53 against Houston. So I had two legs of my parlay last night, Hickey. Work. And then the third leg of just Tennessee Moneyline did not. So that cost me some money tonight. And I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. But San Diego State, I have them at +7. San Diego State +7.5. Miami +7.5. And then I have the under of 140.5 in Princeton Creighton. Folks, you should hammer the over in that game. That is what I would say. But that was $40 to win $333.98. And San Diego State's going to do this. They have the ball going to the charity stripe up 69-64. As Alabama had a look and they just got swatted. So San Diego State is going to get the job done here. And that is going to be your third number one seed going home. What an embarrassment by Alabama. A abject failure of Alabama in this NCAA tournament when you're sitting there with, you have to beat San Diego State, you get the winner of Creighton, Princeton, and then if you win there, you get the winner of FAU, Kansas State. You should be in the national championship game. But they just could not shoot tonight, and it was just terrible. An abysmal offensive performance. Give all the credit in the world to San Diego State. But my, oh my, a missed opportunity for Alabama. And that's the third number one seed to go home. You know, Purdue went home in the first round. In the round of 32, you did have Kansas fall. Now Alabama is going to go down as it's 71-64 with 7.9 seconds remaining. And Miami is 8:57 away, a whole lot of time. But 8:57 away from sending the other number one seed, the only number one seed remaining in about 7.9 seconds home as well, as that is 70-55. Miami's up on Houston, 8:43 to go in that one. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.